News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton. Just about 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. And thanks again to everybody at Lanyap. We'll be talking with Rob Holbert from Lanyap tomorrow. Also going to have Chris Callahan on. He's the attorney for Levy, who was relieved of his position at the Gulf Coast Technology Center yesterday after the findings from the Birmingham firm on the charges and the assertions by Chief Prine. Mm-hmm. Prine's going to be on with Sean today.
1 p.m.
Yep. So there's, you got all that.
Yes, and then nationally, and we have so much going on locally, of course, which is our top focus. Nationally, though, we'll have Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, set to address Congress at 1 p.m. today, and then 7 p.m. tonight will be Biden from, I believe, the Oval Office addressing his stepping out of the stepping out of the race.
And as much as I'm just consuming all of this news, sometimes I forget Biden is still president.
Yeah.
And that can be concerning in itself.
And according to Corinne Jean-Pierre, who I don't think, has she given a real presser in the last week? I'm not sure, but she was on The View yesterday.
Yeah,
and she said,
friendly fire there.
She said, he's still president. We're still doing things.
Obviously, he stepped down from running and being the nominee, but he's very much still the president.
He's still got the job.
He still has the job, and we have a lot more to get done on behalf of the American people, and he wants to zero in and focus on that.
Yeah, and Kamala Harris, the vice president, who is now the top nominee for the Democrats and likely the nominee. I guess, is it official now or not? I guess we have to wait until the roll call there before the convention. But she, I believe, is set to meet with Netanyahu either today or at some point before he leaves back for Israel. But she will not be in attendance at his congressional speech today. And House Speaker Mike Johnson said, that's a problem.
You say you want to be the leader of the free world, and yet you can't bring yourself to sit behind our most important and strategic ally in this moment.
And I know a lot of progressive Democrats have already said they won't attend BB's speech, including Rashida Tlaib. I don't think that's much of a surprise to anyone.
No.
But he's going to be speaking at, I think, 1 p.m. Central Time today, and then 7 p.m. tonight, Biden from the Oval Office.
All right. I'm going to try to sort this out, and if you go along with me here, we could probably take this down and in about a minute. But just looking over the last couple of weeks, Trump is shot.
Right.
Secret Service Kimberly Cheadle suddenly in on the hot seat, and then we find out about this very cozy relationship with the Bidens, so much so she had detail at a Jill Biden event in Pittsburgh, an hour south, more detail there than at the Trump outdoor event.
That's right. We reported that earlier this week, that Jill Biden, I think it was an Italian-American fundraising event for the campaign in Pittsburgh. And I believe she decided week of that she would hold this event while Trump was in Butler. And she received basically three times, the way I understand it, three times the Secret Service protection for a much smaller and I think indoor event than Trump got for the larger outdoor event.
And did it cost Trump? Yeah, he was shot. Biden is defiant. Remember that, Biden? I'm not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Biden disappears.
Yes.
He is going somewhere.
Well, yeah, after many calls for him to step out, but not as many as, you know, you had several from Congress, then Senate started jumping in, and then he had a couple slip-ups, including the BET interview, and then he's sick with COVID and disappears.
Sick with COVID, disappears. So now he disappears. Now Biden tweets out that he's getting out of the race, tweets out.
Yes.
No pictures, no video, no
Well, the
anything.
Picture, it was a document. That
yeah,
a
document, right.
And,
right.
But everyone says it wasn't on official White House letterhead or something like that, which they said was strange. I don't know.
Biden backs Harris to replace him in the campaign. I'm not sure that was on the script for the Democrats. It just happened.
Some of the initial leaks before he dropped out that said when he would drop out said he would not endorse Kamala and instead would endorse an open convention, an open primary, basically.
Black Lives Matter says the same thing, right? Ironically?
Black Lives Matter upset that they went directly with Harris rather than opening it up.
And Black Lives Matter, where's all that money? But anyway, we'll get back to that. Harris emerges. Now we get back to Cheadle and everything from what happened at the Trump rally.
Yep. After the RNC last week, Congress finally comes back this week and have the oversight committee grilling Cheadle on Monday.
She testifies on Monday. She is not forthcoming with nearly anything. And then she is she's forced to resign. And I think that's where we... right here. Biden writes a little note to Cheadle.
Yeah, after, so I missed this.
Okay, so here it is. Jill and I are grateful to Director Kim... She was on her duty, allowed Trump to get shot.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you put out anything?
She's resigning in disgrace.
Yes. And yet it's a statement is what it is. It's not necessarily a note. Jill and I are grateful to Director Kim Cheadle for her decades of public service. She has selflessly dedicated and risked her life to protect our nation throughout her career in the United States Secret Service. We especially thank her for answering the call to lead the Secret Service during our administration, and we are grateful for her service to our family. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was that really, is that tone deaf stupid or what?
Well.
Is that protocol? Like you, she's leaving in disgrace.
Yes.
I think you just kind of leave it alone. You don't have to, it's like she's graduating college.
And. Right. It's tough to get past that, but it just kind of shows that what we've known, especially now what so many more people know, is that Biden's allegiance is more to the people close to him and the hangers-on he's gained over the last five decades. It seems he has more allegiance to them than he does to the country which he's supposed to be leading.
That appears to be true, and them to him.
Right. And I didn't put this together until you pointed me toward a tweet last night, and I need to find this tweet and pull it back up. But
it's from a guy from the Center for Foundation for Democracies or something like that, a pretty conservative group.
So the reports that it was Team Jill that had Cheadle made the Secret Service director, that Jill's chief of staff pushed hard for Kimberly Cheadle to be named Secret Service director.
And you have this narrative again. You have the first ever woman leading the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden loved all that stuff.
Right. It was remember when he was, and the people that are saying that Kamala Harris wasn't chosen as VP because of her sex or race, you're completely discounting the entire discussion during that time.
Yeah.
I mean, he went on with, is it Sharpton who's on MSNBC? And Sharpton was outright lobbying for him to choose a black female as his vice presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he did. And now Democrats are saying, no, it had nothing to do with that. This was all based on her record as a senator and her record in politics in California. But regardless, so yeah, the Cheadle hiring fit right in line with that, which made sense. I was like, okay, so the Bidens, they just hired someone they like a lot. That's what they know her well.
And a DEI kind of spin to it,
and
too.
They had the female hiring aspect.
Yeah.
I didn't take it far enough to think what this tweet pointed out, that Cheadle or whoever is Secret Service director probably has more close contact with the president than just about anyone.
Right.
And almost anyone.
He was asserting that Cheadle was part of her job was there was to
cover it all up.
Cover Biden up, protect him from being exposed as someone who was losing his marbles. And then if you have to go nads to say, I want to do it four more years, which pushed a lot of people like that.
Let's ease up.
Yeah, let's ease up.
So it's absolutely wild. And Cheadle, you know, she was supposed to be in front of Congress again yesterday testifying. And this time they had some Pennsylvania law enforcement officials that were there as well. Well, Cheadle no-showed and then, of course, resigned. So we saw that happen yesterday. And we'll get into some of this audio maybe here in this next break.
It's even more disgraceful that she didn't show and then resigned. She could have testified and resigned as she was testifying, whatever. Mm-hmm. But to just like not even show up when you're due in.
And I thought, you know, Sean had Robert Kennedy Jr., our Robert Kennedy Jr., not the one who's running for president. He had him on yesterday for the official Midday Mobile Democrat response to everything that's going on. And what he had to say about what Cheadle should have done going into Monday's hearing made perfect sense. And it's unbelievable that they didn't have people telling her,
here's what you need to do.
When you get in there, as much as you can, lay your cards out on the table. So, and admit that this was a massive security oversight, breach, whatever, and really kind of take the venom out of the members of Congress who are who each get 5 minutes to just light you up.
Yeah.
If she would have come out and in an opening statement, which Nancy Mace tore her up for leaking the opening statement to several different publications before it even made its way over to the House Oversight Committee. But if she would have just said, yeah, this was a massive screw up, we left that building unattended, this and that, then I think that if she would have just been more forthcoming, I guess this is the most obvious thing in the world, then Congress wouldn't have had, they wouldn't have been yelling at her like they were Monday, or maybe they would have anyway, I don't know.
It was amazing because we were watching it in our beautifully appointed office, and we were watching that thing live. Usually Dalton has golf on, I'll be honest with you, and I'm watching it too, you know. But so we were watching that, and what happened was, it was this kind of like momentum in reverse, or just kind of, the more she stonewalled, the next congressman or congresswoman was a little more angry than the one before him or her, because
right.
like, hey, I'm not really appreciating what I'm seeing here. By the time they got to Mace, she was ready to cage fight the lady, basically. But it was just interesting that you watched that thing going down. And we looked at each other as she was answering these questions with non-answers, pretty much. And we were like, I can't believe what I'm... How many times have we seen something in the last...
Month,
that which where it's like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. The Biden debate, I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Right.
Trump getting shot on live TV, I can't believe what I'm seeing.
And one of the questions she was asked during that hearing Monday was, is there a second shooter? And so many of the questions she was asked that she should have been able to answer. How many shots did the shooter get off?
Amazing.
You know, I don't know if anyone asked what caliber, you know, any specifics about the weapon. Which we've seen.
She didn't give any, I don't think.
But just even by not answering whether there was a second shooter, I mean, pretty much everyone with common sense, and we said this very early on based on people who are very much in the know of how Secret Service works or how sniper teams work, Eric Prince being one of them. He's not Secret Service, but obviously with Blackwater and military and being
former
in the Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
And he said this is one of two things, either massive incompetence from Secret Service
or worse.
Or it was allowed to happen. And you heard it when I brought it up with Quinn, or whenever you bring it up to certain people, they act like you're the most crazy person in the world to say, this is so fishy, and this was such a breakdown from Secret Service and other law enforcement, that if you're not wondering if there was something else in the works, then you're not really looking at all the different possibilities. And so many people that text us, and I'm right there with you, say... How do we know this isn't an inside job? Well, Cheadle didn't give anyone any reason to not think that it was that was a possibility.
And when finding out more about Cheadle's cozy relationship, appointed by the Bidens, basically Jill Biden's her top,
chief of staff.
So her chief of staff is pushing for Cheadle to become the Secret Service director, first woman ever. Hooray! She said she's going to make sure the Secret Service is 30% women by 2030. Hooray! You know, all this kind of Biden pep rally stuff. And she's got more people at an affair where Jill Biden is safe as a teddy bear in the arms of a six-year-old. She's got more Secret Service detail there in an indoor event with friendly Italian-Americans drinking wine, and then she does at an outdoor event for Donald Trump. Why wouldn't you wonder, at least, that guy from the democracy, that foundation, he says, man, I'm wondering.
And of course, now Secret Service asking Trump to not hold any more outdoor rallies,
right,
which are his biggest rallies. They say it's a security issue, but 4 months before the election, I think he's going to keep holding these outdoor rallies. How could they keep him safe for as long as they did, and then this one breakdown? No more rallies for you in the final turn here as we head towards the November election.
It's incredible. If this was happening in Brazil, we'd say, wow, what a crazy country. It's happening here.
Right here.
Okay, so now Kamala is the choice. How does the GOP move forward against her? That's on the way. morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:25.
And coming up this hour, your chance to win to see Styx and Foreigner at the Wharf. This is a Friday, August 16th show. Together live for the last time ever. It's the Renegades and Jukebox Heroes Tour. Some great songs from those two bands, Styx and Foreigner. We'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets coming up this hour along with the rest of the week, so stay tuned for that.
All right. More hearings yesterday in Washington.
Yeah, and so as we continue to talk about this complete failure of Secret Service a couple Saturdays ago, and we'll get to these texts here in a minute, 251-343-0106. Yesterday, Pennsylvania law enforcement officials testified on Capitol Hill, and they did shoulder some blame for the near assassination attempt of former President Trump, but they said that Secret Service Chief Kimberly Cheadle and her agency were, quote, ultimately responsible for the catastrophic security lapses. And this testimony yesterday coming just minutes before she resigned. You had Pennsylvania State Police Commissioner Colonel Christopher Paris and Fraternal Order of Police National President Patrick Yose, who told members of the House Homeland Security Committee that the Secret Service was the primary agency tasked with securing the Butler PA campaign event. Here is some of that from Colonel Ferris.
Prior to the shooting, our role was to support the Secret Service with personnel and assets that they requested. Our operation plan completed to fulfill this responsibility consisted of 32 members, and we had two main responsibilities. A motorcade operation for the transportation with the Secret Service of former President Trump, as well as manning and staffing security posts inside the secure area of the Butler County Farm Show. Additionally, we provided two marked cars with uniformed troopers outside of the secure perimeter to provide roving duties, as the name implies, responding to incidents that may occur as a large gathering of people were moving to the venue.
And the commissioner, Colonel Ferris there, he testified that to the best of his knowledge, there were two Butler officers staged inside the AGR building with a direct sight to where crooks actually eventually climbed up onto the roof. And you could see some of that footage of what this looked like on the scene from the congressman that I retweeted yesterday at Dalton Orwig on Twitter. But before the shooting, the officers were told to move to search for crooks. And in that time, he climbed up on the roof. And
he'd been right in front of
him. He would have been right in front of them.
They had left that post to go look for him. Is that what you're saying?
My understanding is yes.
I think that's revelatory.
And was that relayed to the Secret Service, the team that surrounds the president himself?
I can't answer that.
Well, if it wasn't, that's another big mess up.
So there, that was some more from yesterday. Also, they released a video. We don't have time for it today, maybe not this morning, but you should check it out. Body cam footage that shows the Trump gunman dead on the roof right after the assassination attempt. But you have some of the local law enforcement and I think some local snipers on that roof with a Secret Service agent who's trying to kind of get his ducks in a row and figure out exactly what's happening. They're asking about the bike. They had detained a few of the people who were out there recording. Remember these videos that came out first where they said, he's on the roof, and then they'd show Secret Service, and then he's up there. And so they detained those people to get some more information from them. Totally chaotic situation right afterwards. I encourage you to check that video out. If we have time today, we'll play some more of that audio.
So the failures in the setup, like in the strategy session, look, I know nothing about all this. I'm learning as you all are, right? You know, a little, but not like this. But evidently, the failures in the strategy session, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to, you know, we're going to put our players on the field in this way to stop any kind of a gunman or any kind of problem, bomb or whatever. The failure there in the lead up to it, like this is what we're going to do. And then the lack of communication between local authorities and the Secret Service. Mm-hmm. It appears that they are the two main problems here.
Yeah.
To you two?
That's the way it seems. And there was a report that came out, I don't know if it was ever confirmed, that Secret Service wasn't a part of the meeting that morning as they were planning how they were going to cover this thing.
Amazing. 8:30, Dan and Dalton.
FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on a Wednesday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive where we talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are great. And let us know, how are things going over at McConnell Automotive? I know last time we talked, you said y'all are shopping this week, just like you do every week, but that's how you get so many great vehicles on the ground there.
That's right. I'm trying to buy some stuff in Dallas today and in Nashville. So we're just we're going to be sitting here trying to buy a few cars. We want to appreciate everybody that came in and bought some cars last week. We had a good week and got a few trades, but we need a little more used cars, so we're going to go buy a few. And got a great selection of new trucks. I mean, they're coming in here left and right. Got the first invoice on a 25 Encore, so General Motors is getting the 25s are rolling, so if y'all want to order one of those, just come on by and talk to one of our new car salespeople, and they'll hook you up. And like I said, it looks like it's going to be a great day this morning, so come on by and see us.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all.
Louie Arata, you'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:36. We've been hitting a lot on the everything that's transpired in the last
2.5 weeks.
Yeah,
2 weeks.
Mind blowing. Like I said, this sounds like it's going on in another country. It is going on in our country, right in front of us, and we're trying to understand it all.
Yeah, I guess the shooting was still only 11 days ago, which is hard to hard to believe because there's been so much that's gone on since then.
I would say take it back to the debate. That was mind-blowing, mind-numbing. It was mind-numbing to know that the president of the United States has a numb mind.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all kind of shocked by that. And from that point on, all the things that have happened. Now, Kamala is going to be the Democrat that's going to run against Donald Trump. Came across these comments. Actually, it was a podcast. Bill Kristol, he's Democrat, CNN contributor. You would know him if you saw him. He's been around a long time. And Doug Sosnick, you may not know as well because he's more of a behind-the-scenes guy, but they got together on this on Crystal's podcast, and Sosnick talked about go
so
ahead.
These two, not fans of Trump.
No, not fans of Trump, but Sosnick I thought was interesting. But Sosnick is a political operative, and he has worked with Clinton. He was Clinton's
speechwriter?
His campaign manager.
Okay.
In 96 when he won his second term. He just kind of lays it out. He was talking about, he thought that the Trump campaign, just talking politics now, he said they're doing a good job. And the campaign is actually humming along pretty well. The message is good. So he's kind of, he's
giving
a Democrat.
Props.
He's a Democrat, but he gives props for what he sees. And also he mentioned, and I've been talking about this a long time too, just keep him under control. Just keep Trump from...
Stay as on message as possible.
On message and as low energy rather than crazy uncles in the driveway raising hell. So here is Sosnick laying it out now. What the GOP strategy should be now that it's not in doubt. It's going to be Kamala Harris.
The first thing they're going to do is try to drive the narrative about how she aided and abetted Biden being president when he clearly wasn't qualified to be based on his health. And I think they're going to try to make her own that as the first, out of the gate. The second thing I think they're going to do is pin immigration around her neck. I think they're going to want to create the best of both worlds in the sense that to be able to define her through the negatives parts of the Biden-Harris administration, which gets not only into immigration, but also into the economy. I think they're going to make her an unconstructive California liberal, which I think will be important for these swing voters.
Swing voters. Yeah. So there's the recipe. He laid it out there. What do you think?
Well, I think that's already begun. I saw a minute and a half long ad from the Trump campaign last night, and they're just playing clips of Kamala over the years talking about she wants to ban fracking, which, of course, the folks in the Rust Belt won't want to hear. Well, Pennsylvania and all kinds of states don't want to hear that. I talk about how bad she was on crime in different instances. And then, of course, the being named the border czar, and they have clips of her talking about giving social welfare to illegals that come across the border, and many other things that she failed at as far as the border is concerned. I mean, we had the report yesterday that she hasn't even met with the current Border Patrol chief.
Right.
And I think the last Border Patrol chief said that he hadn't met with her or Biden, which I find that hard to believe. It almost sounds fake that they haven't met. But how have you not met with the Border Patrol chief? It's insane. So they have a lot to work on with her. I do think Kamala has and will get an immediate bump in the polling with all of this Democrat excitement after her, after she became the nominee. If you missed it yesterday, so Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries finally jumped on board. Obama still has not, unless he has this morning while we've been on air. But Schumer had his own, was it Jeb Bush who did the please clap a few years ago? But that was in front of an audience.
Yeah.
This was a presser where Schumer kind of did the same thing.
So now that the process has played out, from the grassroots bottom up, we are here today to throw our support behind Vice President Kamala Harris. I'm clapping. You don't have to.
So that was a part of that yesterday. I think this is going to be a tight race, tight general election. I think it'll come down to, you know, six swing states or so, just like we saw in the last one and probably the one before that as well. I think Kamala has a much better chance at winning than Biden does. But if the Republicans play it right, they should be able to win this.
I think that the right play for the Republicans would be to do the things that Sosnick talked about, you know, attribute those things, all negative, to Kamala Harris, all true, all negative. So you do that, you paint her in this picture, but Trump's got to be very careful. His messaging has got to be more about positivity, bringing the nation back together, rather than bashing Harris. Harris is I don't know that she always declared herself black, but she certainly did when she was running for vice president. And also she is obviously a woman, so there's some history there. There's some feelings there. Often the Democratic views are more on feelings than they are on facts. So you have do not step here. Don't
bully, basically.
Don't bully a woman. You know. So I think Trump's got to be He's got to be on his game.
And there's people saying, well, he won't even debate her. Some people saying he's scared to debate her. Some people saying he has no incentive to debate her, that he should just wipe forward during the debate, election anyway. But Trump said he will debate her. Here's part of that Trump audio.
If Kamala Harris does end up being the Democrats' nominee, will you commit to debating her at least one time?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'd want to. I think it's important. I would be willing to do more than one debate, actually.
So he's saying he'd be willing to do more than one debate.
And here's what he said, too. It's important. Not I'm going to wipe the floor with her. Not she's lying, Kamala. Not she's laughing, Kamala, which has already happened now, I guess. He's just got to keep his cool if he wants to win this election. Because the messaging on Harris is going to be so devastating, so negative, I think it would be hard for her to overcome it. Also, we're talking about, like I said, if Riley Leonard left Fairhope High School and went straight to the NFL, this is what she's doing. Mm-hmm. She may not be completely emotionally ready for any of this. Think about that, too.
And I think she's going to be well protected, though, all the way through. And that's why I think maybe a debate would be one of the best chances for Trump to make her look like a bad politician. Because I think the media, they talk about the money she's raised. That's nothing compared to how much the media will help her along. MSNBCs and CNNs.
It should definitely do that. And also, is the fact that Murdoch's not really pleased with Trump choosing Vance, is that going to have any play or is that going to be any kind of a factor in terms of what Fox News does during this election cycle?
I guess we'll have to see. I'm not sure. Want to go through some text here?
Sure.
Texter here says, Dan and Dalton, if the Secret Service director had testified that President Biden had ordered her to reduce force and leave the rooftop open, he could not be legally prosecuted because of his immunity, right? I guess. I have trouble believing that Biden has been ordering anyone to do anything these last few weeks.
Grubhub.
maybe that. Damn Yankee says, these recent events should really paint a good picture of the disaster of the Biden administration. Another texter here. Harris will get Trump back on the wild side. He'll shoot himself in the foot. Texter here. Good morning, buddies. Hey, good morning, buddy. This is U-Haul, man. An agency such as the Secret Service displaying failures/incompetence to me is the same as knowing/allowing the assassination attempt to proceed. Thanks, and y'all do a great job. Captain Doug says no one seems to be talking about that person, do they? I'm sorry, I need to read. It's a two-part text. In regards to the failure of the Secret Service coverage of the Trump rally, who was the agent in charge on site, and where is his testimony in all of this? No one seems to talk about that person, do they? No, actually, it's a great point, Captain Doug, and I don't know if he's the one that's in that video that came out yesterday, body cam footage of them on the roof after the shooter had been eliminated, talking about what all had gone down and the suspect's bicycle sitting right outside of that building and who may or may not have seen him before he got onto the roof.
So strange.
Let's see. Texter says Julia Pearson was the first female director of the Secret Service. So it wasn't, I guess, okay. Cheadle wasn't the first. Let's see. One reason, this is Dave, one reason Democrats want a woman leading the Secret Service, the U.S. Secret Service prostitution scandal involved as many as 20 women, 11 American agents, and some military personnel. I'd forgotten about that.
So the boys are a little too frisky, huh?
Yeah, was that down in, was that Cuba or, I can't remember exactly where all
South
that
America?
Happened.
South America?
Maybe down there. That was a few years back. Said, and of course it was a Republican president. I get that the Democrats and Biden make mistakes. I'm just reminding folks, plenty of mistakes in Washington. It's what they do. There's no doubt. Mistakes are bipartisan in Washington.
Yep.
David says, I'm going to call my shot now. Biden is in a comatose state in Delaware. The speech you will see tonight will be AI-generated video. Well, they have video. They recorded Biden getting off the plane yesterday in D.C. as he made his way over to the White House.
Yeah, so. And there was also talk that that phone call that interrupted or was part of the campaign event that Kamala Harris was doing was actually wasn't live. It was recorded.
That's the conspiracy theory that that was a recorded phone call. How would we ever know? I don't know. Is her name Cheadle? This is John. Is her name Cheadle a descriptor of Biden election? And don't you think that the media will help Trump also? Gene says, please make an educated guess as to how many agents are used by the Trump extended family. In that Monday hearing, I believe either Cheadle or someone else said that the Secret Service has, I think, 37 protectees right now that they're keeping an eye on. And of course, you know, the Biden family is pretty large. Mm-hmm. Trump family is pretty large.
Yeah.
And then you have VP family, Harris and her husband. And child. So there's a lot of people they have to cover, but that's not new. That's not the Kennedys were in office. Well, that's probably a bad one to bring up as far as Secret Service protection,
yeah.
But they've had to cover a lot of people a lot of different times. And as far as placing your agents where they're needed, I would say an outdoor rally for Trump, the former president and leading candidate right now to be the next president, probably takes precedence over a lot of the other people, especially if they weren't out and about, you know, doing campaign events.
I would like to see an actual report because I haven't seen the number. I've heard more just kind of the chatter, rumor about it. But Jill Biden's event that same day where she got at least the Secret Service attention that Donald Trump did, and some reports say much more.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah. For a much smaller indoor event.
Yeah, insanity.
It doesn't make sense. Chris says, can you get a legal expert on the show that can share information on the passenger bill of rights, seeing how troubled the airlines have been lately? Yeah, we'll try to do something like that. I'm working on getting someone on to talk about the AT&T issues with their phone service dropping out that day and a couple other things. But, yeah, the Delta thing, which now the Department of Transportation – looking into the Delta failures, the other airlines that were affected by that CrowdStrike flub are back online, but Delta just keeps missing flights, and it looks like they're going to be in trouble for the rest of the week. But that's a big national story as well.
The U.S. Department of Transportation is probing Delta after Delta canceled and delayed flights. That was reported yesterday in a social media post on Tuesday. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, who probably has got Secret Service all around him right now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he had this to say. Buttigieg said the USO DOT has opened an investigation into Delta Airlines to ensure the airline is following the law and taking care of its passengers. You're right. To this point, it looks like these people have been treated pretty lousily, I guess you would say. And they're mad about it now. Mm-hmm. That investigation's underway. We could see some some law action as well, court action.
Let's do this. A pair of tickets to see Styx and Foreigner, the Renegades and Jukebox Heroes Tour at the Wharf Friday, August 16th. Right now, caller number 4 at 251-343-0106. Caller number 4, pair of tickets to see Styx and Foreigner at the Wharf August the 16th. And tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com and the Wharf box office.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, 854, the text line 251-343-0106.
Congratulations, Vicky, picking up a pair of tickets to see Styx and Foreigner, the Renegades and Jukebox Heroes Tour. Decided not to go with the Dirty White Boy Tour, but Renegades and Jukebox, that's fine. But should be a great show, Styx and Foreigner. That is the Wharf, August 16th, a Friday night show. Tickets on sale, Ticketmaster.com, and the Wharf box office. And it is a Wednesday. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show. But because it's Wednesday, he joins us early right here on Mobile Mornings. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, glad to have you.
So your guest list today, and well, you've had some great guests. How about opening the show with Tuberville yesterday? That was fantastic. But looking forward to, well, all of your interviews per usual, but you'll have Bradley Byrne on in hour number 3. And this is off the news that Mobile Bay Keeper suing the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. I saw Bradley Byrne and the Mobile Chamber put out a press statement last night saying while lawsuits like this one are adept at generating headlines, they're not exactly known for building bridges or, in this case, shipping channels towards a better future. And Jeff, I know the Bay Keeper, they have an issue with this dredging project to open the port, make it deeper and wider at some points. But Baykeeper saying this, you have protected Gulf sturgeon who are affected by this, along with a lot of other sea life. I wanted to read a couple texts to you real quick on both sides of this. One said, when are we going to stop letting unelected officials like Mobile Baykeeper stop delegating what our government does? We all know this has nothing to do with sturgeon and everything to do, nothing more than a guy with a power trip in the name of the environment. Another texter said, it's all about quality of life. Do you think people would be flocking to Fairhope and Baldwin County if it was as filthy as New York City? I'm shocked and appalled that the Corps of Engineers is going to dump the dredge waste in the bay. Y'all constantly have scientists from the Sea Lab talking about how the levels of floating sediment keep the grasses and oysters from growing. So this is a pretty big deal, Jeff.
Yeah, and it's always like, and I say this all the time about what goes on. You have people, I think, with like, who would be like MAGA Republicans and that live over here on the Eastern Shore, and then we start talking about that, or particularly the coal ash stuff, they become like tree hugger environmentalists on this one thing. It's always kind of a almost a contradiction in conventional wisdom.
Yeah, but it's true, and it's because of where we are and the way that they enjoy the outdoors, right? It's part of their life.
It's just part of life, property value. Don't want to see this impact their life. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of different things going on here, I think.
I wanted to get your opinion on some of the national stuff. And with Kamala now the Democrat nominee, I guess all eyes turn to who she'll choose as her vice presidential candidate. And I think, I haven't checked the odds, but I would guess Mark Kelly is probably near the top of that, being swing state. He has a military record, which can match J.D. Vance. And, well, a number of other reasons. Well, the assassination attempt on
his wife,
Gabby Giffords. What are your thoughts on him possibly being the nominee, or does it really even matter?
I think he's number one or number two. Roy Cooper, North Carolina, I would watch. The weird vibe on Josh Shapiro and media figures openly talking about his faith is being a Jewish religion, a problematic for a Democratic vice presidential nominee, is very bizarre to me.
Yep.
But Mark Kelly, I don't know. Maybe he's exactly what they need to balance things out. One person it will be is Alabama's former U.S. Senator Doug Jones, I believe.
Isn't it funny that they've got to find a white dude? They have to find, the enemy of the state is the white, male politician.
Well, they're talking Whitmer, too. I don't think so. I think she's got high negatives. I don't think it'll be her. But there's been a female or two mentioned as well.
That'd be very risky, I think.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, looking forward to your show. Also coming on today, you have Paul DeMarco in hour number 1 and Joey Clark in hour number 2, so looking forward to it.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff Poor Show, straight ahead. Mobile Morning's going to wrap it up right now.
Yes, and remember your chance to win tickets all week long to see Styx and Foreigner. And we'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning at 6. By the way, Backstrap Stacker, I missed this. He said Municipal Park sending two teams to the Dixie Youth World Series tournaments. Their Ozone team and Coach Pitch teams both won the Alabama State tournaments. We're talking about the Sims 12 yep. and under team going to the World Series in Branson. Congratulations to all these local teams.